Okay, starting broadcasting now.
Awesome.
Broadcasting. We are broadcasting. And it's fun to broadcast.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
You other brothers can't deny.
That when a girl walks in with an itty bitty bin and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Boing!
From beyond any known galaxy, bringing with them the laws and ideals of their doomed planet, Thundera, come...
Thundercats, ho. Welcome to the 37th episode of Thundercats, the podcast for friend feeders, with friend feeders, and by friend feeders. My name is Josh Haley from Houston, Texas.
And I'm Johnny Wellington from Brisbane, Australia.
And we are the Thundercats. Ho.
Ho.
Ho, my brother, from another mother.
Ho, sir. Ho, sir.
How are you this week?
Very busy. How are you, sir?
Busy, huh? Yeah, busy. A lot of stuff going on.
In literally about 48 hours, or even less than that, probably about 45 hours, I'm flying... from almost the top of Australia to the bottom of Australia to go to a conference. And I've just, you know, one of those things where you've got a week's worth of work that you've had to do in 4 days and you worry that you haven't done it. Plus, I've still got to pack, buy underwear, get my jammies, everything like that.
So you're flying from down under to down under under?
Well, yes, I'm flying from Brisbane, which is sort of...
East Coast...
Right. East Coast Northern.
Right.
So down to Tasmania, which is one of the most southern parts of Australia. So if you look at the map of Australia, there's that little island down the bottom right-hand side that looks like pubic hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's of course. Tasmania.
Yeah.
That's what I always think. must be an inside joke for you guys.
Well, no, if you take a look at the map of Tasmania, it looks like the area... Of a lady that looks like the pubis thing, and we call that area a map of Tasmania.
I see.
Yes.
Well, wow. What's the occasion? I mean, you going to
conference. So
conference?
part of one of our customers. They're basically the industry that they work in are having a big trade show over the next week. It happens every year. As we provide support for them, we're going down. Myself and another person from the company are going down to provide technical support. My stuff is more marketing support, export, that type of thing. So just basic general smooching and just some getting to put a face to a name. Like there's a couple of overseas customers, that type of thing, that I have dealt with.
So you're also providing alcoholic support?
Very much so, yes.
There will be drinking.
There won't be drinking. There will be drinking that happens before there is the consumption of alcohol.
before you drink?
Your dog.
You're going to do some your dog drinking.
I've got to get up at the bum crack of dawn to fly down on Monday morning, so...
Well, good luck with that, man. It sounds fun.
Thank you. What about yourself, sir?
The week's been pretty cool. The middle of the week, I mean, I posted about it and everything, but on Wednesday I got to meet Jason Hubel, Mr. the Hubster himself. So that was cool. I mean, he's a fellow Texan. But he lives like an hour and a half or so east of me over in Orange, Beaumont area. And... it was good to get to know him. I got to know a little bit more about him and his family and everything and what he does. And we hung out and ate Thai food. And I got to see his smart car, his little tiny smart car. It's actually pretty cool. I mean, I would like totally do donuts, tear it up on in one of those, like, but pretending like I'm in a golf cart or something, or maybe a go-kart, because it doesn't really... size up to a real car. He said one time, I asked him about parallel parking. It must be a dream. He's like, yeah, you don't even have to back in. You just drive in forwards. It's so short. And one time he even parked sideways. where the front was towards the street, and he fit. That's how small it is. It's amazing.
I remember when we went through Germany back in I think 2004 we did. We were driving past all these car yards, and then we went past the smart car yard, and it was this little tiny car yard, but it was this big, like 5-6-story column building. And it was full of smart cars. And what they did is when you went and bought a smart car, you caught an elevator to which area you wanted. So there's all different, like the first floor was like the high-end sports models, and then there was, as you go up, they get relatively cheaper and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you cop in the elevator, you go up, you choose the car you want, then they drive that car to the car elevator, take it down to the ground level, and you drive away with your car. They don't have to have a big flat car yard laid out with all these cars. It was literally just like a 5 or 6 story building full of cars that you just drove the car into the elevator and you drove away.
Nice.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, elevator parking lots are pretty crazy. I think they're pretty common where the population is so dense and the land is not as big as it could be, like Japan or China maybe. Well, China, pretty big, but still. You get the point.
Yes. Lots of people.
Not enough room for many, many cars.
Do we have any news on the funder front, so to speak?
On the funder front? Well, there's not a whole bunch of news that I racked up, but we'll see what we can do. The first topic we have is this thing that kind of, I guess it was kind of weird at first, and then it got kind of funny, and then after a while it kind of got ugly, and then everyone was taking sides on this way and that way. But basically, actually, the link I have doesn't exist anymore, so I'm not gonna post it into the chat room, but it has to do with our friend Cole Tregaskis. I'm hoping I pronounced that last name right. He posted a I guess it got imported from his Visualize account. It was a picture of some girl, you know, who's been posting her pictures on what's DM?
DeviantArt or something.
Yeah, DeviantArt. Anyway, so it's a picture of a redhead girl, right? And it's like all made up and stuff. And, you know, it could be like a, you know, semi-okay picture. But what happened, the very first comment was the actual person in the picture saying, and I won't repeat exactly all the words, but she was just totally like cussing him out and saying, "What the hell? Are you retarded? Why are you using this picture?" You know, just she freaked out on him.
She had in her, from what I understand, in her account on DeviantArt, she had basically made a statement that this was only to remain on DeviantArt, the website.
Right. So, yeah. The long and short of it is the thread got kind of interesting where people were going, "Oh my gosh, this girl is basically committing social suicide because she's, you know, not being very nice," and all he was doing was, you know, saying, "Hey, look at this pretty picture," basically, right? Mm-hmm. And it just didn't really add up. And so people started attacking her. She was fighting back. And then she, like, backhanded apologized, sort of. And then Cole basically ended up deleting the thread, so that, you know, in a way he was doing what she wanted him to do, which was take down the picture, because you have to delete the post to get the picture to go away. That's just how that works. But before it even got deleted, like, tons of people took that same image or basically reposted it in their feed just to kind of like poke fun at this girl. Now I thought it was kind of funny at first when I got out my popcorn and I was reading the thread in the beginning, and then you know, I figured it would just kind of go away after a little while, but it got kind of epic, and a lot of people were jumping in on it, and then there were people accusing it of, you know, becoming like this mob, using that word again, which I don't really like, but I don't know. It was really interesting. You got people comparing it to the Arrington mob, and people were attacking Michael Arrington from TechCrunch that one time when he called out Leo Laporte. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know the story, of course. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on the whole thing? Verothica is her name, by the way.
There's basically two parts to this story. One, that a person published artwork on a certain site, but in doing so didn't take care and notice of how and the terms that she actually posted that under. So she's posted this to this website, and she has put it on a statement saying this is to only remain on this thread. Except when she posted it, not only did she leave the tools on that website to reshare it open, it had a blog this button which was available,
right?
But she also released it under Creative Commons use without attribution. So that means...
She screwed up with the tools that she had.
Well, screwed up, didn't understand them, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Which is an important thing to do, because I publish images on the internet, and I understand that when I publish them, I have to set some type of license agreement. Because if I put copyright on it, that means I have an ability to go and pursue that person to take it down. But also, on top of that, a lot of people don't know that copyright is good and you sort of have a claim over it, but the only true way to get monetary recovery of that is to actually register that copyright with the Library of Congress, I think it is.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Library of Congress, you have to register at that.
Okay.
And then there's other things, which is sort of like, it's not enshrined in law yet, but it's the Creative Commons. So you can set, okay, I want this with attribution. You don't have to put attribution. You can change it however you want. So if you're going to publish work on the internet, you have to understand, basically like an art gallery, where are you hanging it? Are you hanging it on a website? Are you hanging it in a gallery that has armed guards on the front door that stop people coming in and taking photographs? Because this is what it comes to. Are you allowed to take a photograph of a artwork in an art studio? This is the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So basically she did this, right? And then Cole came in and he saw it. In his normal practices, there was no restrictions on it because it had the Creative Commons license on it and it had all the sharing tools enabled. Right?
Yep.
He basically followed like anything else, and it got sent out to his various things, and then it ended up on FriendFeed. Now, this person hasn't liked the fact that it's gone up on FriendFeed, and rather than addressing the issue in a sensible way, which you would, if someone stole your artwork, storming into their building and yelling and screaming at them and insulting their mother and going rah, you're always going to get blowback. You are.
Sure.
There are ways and means of approaching this type of thing, like takedown notices, that type of thing. And I think a lot of people were just defending their friend. I think Cole just basically got absolutely shat on, and a lot of people are going, hey, I don't think that's really cool. And they were sort of saying, no, don't do that. And then she's sort of going, well, no, you can't do that. You can't do that with my image. And a lot of people started pointing out to her, well, in actual fact, your image was sort of released like this. And she was, and just, it wasn't getting resolved. And Cole very much rightly suggested, look, I'm going to take it down, but I at least want you to apologize. Because that's right. The only thing he had, like, because he was going to take it down anyway, but he at least wanted that apology. And then a lot of other people started resharing the image. And I don't know if it was actually a personal attack against this person. I don't, like, to be fair, I actually did a MS Paint version of this photo and posted it. But it had nothing to do with this original person. It was just because there's an image on the internet that people really don't understand how that image came about and how it should be managed. And I just said, well, no, just to show you the absurdity of the situation, I can draw an MS Paint version of it, post it, and that's completely okay. So the idea of sort of laying claim to an image without putting the tools in place to actually protect yourself, because there are websites out there which prevent sharing like this. I believe SmugMug, they actually display all their photos, I think, in Flash. I'm not too sure, but you can't sort of do it like Flickr, where you can just bookmark it or share it. So with a bookmarklet, you can't right click and download. You have to take screen grabs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think some people, not so much attacked her, just pushed back for their friend. And Cole, and I think Cole is really one of the top users in FriendFeed, has to be commended for not only the way he conducted himself during the actual thread, but in subsequent threads, basically giving his point of view and keeping it very calm and saying, "Look, this is not a huge issue." And I think he should get a lot of kudos for the way he handled the situation.
Right on. Well, that definitely took up half a day of friend feed. I think it flooded the interwebs with all kinds of interesting stuff to read.
It just goes to show that if you're going to put something in a public medium, which the internet is, you have to understand the terms and the security measures you're doing it in. So you can't, if you want only a certain amount of people to see it, then you have to find the places where you can do that. But putting it in a wide open field and then having the expectation that it won't be seen and shared by other people is a little naive. Now, it doesn't make it right, but it demonstrates a small bit of naivety.
Excuse me, Johnny. It is pronounced naivety. Naivety. Thank you. Carry on, then. Oh, and Thundercats. Ho.
Okay. Well, moving on to the next topic, we have a... I'm going to post a link in the room, and I'm going to get you to start it. It's about a new feature about editing. You can edit your comments in real time.
Mm-hmm.
So FriendFeed came out with a new thing.
Yep. Brett made a post about it the other day, and it's something that's happened when you're in a thread and you're typing along, da 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 da, and you're having these type of conversations and stuff like that. Often times, while you're replying to something, someone makes a change to that the actual comment that you're making a change to, right? And it happens quite frequently that this person changes maybe a couple of words and it changes the whole mood and meaning of that thread. So you reply and you look like an idiot, that type of thing. Well, now, as soon as you press edit, it opens up an edit box. You edit it. As soon as you hit post or comment, it automatically refreshes that inside of the page, so you don't have to refresh to see all the changes. So it's sort of pushing forward the conversational manner of it.
It's it's kind of cool, I guess, because you know when you first make a mistake and then you hit, as soon as you hit go, you realize, oh, I made that mistake. And then within, like, say, 10 seconds or 15 seconds, you went and changed it, and it's cool. But in that 10 or 15 seconds, there could be, you know, because of this whole real-time thing now with FriendFeed, there could be, like, tons of people that have it already floating down in their feed, your post, with the mistake. Mm-hmm. And that mistake will last until their page refreshes and therefore refreshes your post. And so I guess it's a way of getting that... that mistake to the person that's going to read your post changed faster, you know, and corrected faster. That's the only benefit I could see. I mean, it's like, it's one of those things I wasn't clamoring for, but dang, I guess that's pretty cool to have, you know?
Well, case in point, our chat room now, which has at least a few comments in it, if to be fair. It's got now about 65 comments in it, If you make a change, then because we don't refresh the chat room until later on in the show, or we may not refresh the chat room at all, we can see those changes happening now rather than having to, say, go back in an hour's time and refresh the page. And yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Was that the only feature that came out this week?
The only major one that I was able to see.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
So yeah. I have some really good news. Can I tell everybody the news now?
Please.
Just this week, I was able to pick up our first official sponsor for Thundercats, and we're pretty excited about that. And it's not going to turn us into millionaires or anything, but it all depends on whether or not you guys buy the stuff. And it was a really cool partnership because, you know, it's a product that I've bought before. It's a product that other people on FriendFeed have been excited about before. And they are Moo cards. You guys know about Moo cards? Here's a link I'm putting in the chat room. If you go through our link, and it is an affiliate link, we're not trying to be sneaky. We're being as transparent as you can be. But moo.com, if you go through our link, we will get a little bit of a, you know, a couple quarters here, a dollar here for your, you know, your purchase. It doesn't cost you anything. You still pay what you're going to pay, and we get like a buck or something, you know, depending on the size of your order. So we hope that you'll tell your friends, and that's one. It's just one way that you can support the Thundercats. I know the T-shirt store right now, it's a bit too expensive, and I'm working on that. But for now, this is one way to do it. And if you feel like donating, we still have the donation button to help us pay for bandwidth. We're a little behind on that. You know, it's coming out of our pockets at this point, but we do appreciate all the support we've had so far. Because it could have been a lot worse.
We just want to let everyone know. Sort of, Josh and I sort of operate this whole thing in the vein of our podcasting guru, Mr. Leo Laporte. We would never recommend anything that we don't use and that we don't trust. So that's why we're so happy about Moo cards, is because Josh and I have both used it and we can vouch for the quality. We just thought it'd be a good tie-in for the Funder listeners.
Yeah, and in fact, since we're talking about the Moo cards, the ones that I got, and this is something that you can do, is you know how you want to go buy business cards, let's say. You figure out a design, and then you go and you get 500 of the same thing. Well, that's typical, right? But with Moo, you can actually design 100 different types of cards and get one each if you wanted to. Or like five each. What I did was you can link it to your Flickr account. And I have a ton of, you know, photos of Zoe, my daughter, on there. And so we imported a bunch of baby pictures of Zoe. And I chose which ones. And it lets you – I was going to make mini cards. They're really narrow, you know, like rectangles, like half of a business card. And I went and I cropped it a certain way on each one. And then you click submit. You charge a credit card. It was like $20. And I get 100 mini cards shipped like very, very quickly. And when they come in this cute little box. And they're actually really thick and like durable. They're not like janky. They're not janky at all. And you can actually print something on the opposite side. So I didn't know how cool it was going to be. I just wrote the word Zoe. But you can actually have a whole bunch of stuff printed on the back side and full color photo quality on the front side. So it's okay. Like – so I thought it was so cool. If anybody who doesn't have a credit card and still wants to use the service, get in touch with me and we'll figure something out. Maybe we could do a proxy order somehow. I'd be willing to help you out with that. But yeah, the quality is really cool. And I was so impressed that you could do 100 different photos and they would print one each if you wanted, you know? So I got 100 different cards for like $20, you know, it might be like $21 or $22 now, but, So anyway, enough about sponsor. I don't want to take up too much time, but we're very excited to have this sponsorship going. And
go get your moo on.
Yeah, it's and again, if possible, use our link. Otherwise, we won't get any of the credit. So, moving on, next topic has to do with Gmail, doesn't it?
Yeah, just a little of some related news to FriendFeed. I think this week, or I think Wednesday, that Gmail finally came out of its beta phase. The little icon under Gmail is gone. And I believe Paul was one of the creators of it. Paul Bucat.
Really?
I think he created it.
Well, you mean Gmail itself?
Gmail, I'm pretty sure.
No, yeah. It was Paul. Yeah, we covered this. Yeah, Paul created the first version of Gmail. He's not obviously in it yet anymore. But, I mean, that I know of, unless it's like backdoor deal or something. But he's got his own thing now with FriendFeed.
Well, you got to think about it that a lot of FriendFeed's very Gmailish in certain ways. It's very like stripped down. It's like the email integration. Like when the emails came on and the instant messenger type of thing, it was like, yeah, I can see how they just like fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. And you've got a Gmail account, obviously. Thundercats have got a Gmail account.
Mm-hmm.
How big is Gmail now, like compared to something like Hotmail? Because I know everyone had a Hotmail account a couple of years ago.
It's huge. It's everything. I mean, it's I use it all day, every day, including on my iPhone. I mean, it's my lifeline to email communication.
Mm-hmm.
If I have any other email addresses that are not Gmail addresses, they all pipe into my Gmail address. You know what I mean? So
true.
I am putting, you know, a lot of eggs in one basket, but so far I have not been disappointed.
Indeed. And also, too, I think a little bit of news that happened on FriendFeed that sort of exploded was the announcement that Google is releasing its own operating system or its own version of an operating system based on the Chrome web browser.
That's huge.
That is huge.
Huge. And a lot of people are wondering, you know, there's so many different types of devices now. It's like all the gaps have been filled. You know, you had this big clunky desktop. And then you got, a laptop. And then you have all these different sizes of laptops. Oh, I got a really big one. Yeah, I got a really small one. That's what she said, blah, blah, blah. And then you have these mini netbooks now. And then you got these touchscreen mini netbooks. And then you have the iPhone as kind of like a computer. And then maybe this crunch pad type of a device. You know, I mean, there's so many different things that are being invented now that fit, you know, they're pretty much any particular size, and they're starting to run different OSs. I mean, you got Android that has come out in the past couple of years for running, on Google. Not Google, but
phones.
And Android is Google, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So they already took over, you know, that part of the, or got into the game at least with cell phones, and people have been installing Android on netbooks and posting pictures of that on the web, you know, trying to, you know, hack it and so forth. But it's really exciting, you know, multiple OSs on multiple different types of devices. It's going to get kind of crazy, but it's exciting.
Because it gives nudges to everyone. Like, how much of the new iPhone interface 3.0 was due to some of the things brought out in Android? I mean, if Android hadn't come out with copy and paste, would it have pushed Apple to do it this type of thing? And I'm personally excited because while it is just a web browser on top of a Linux kernel, I've been schooled in the past couple of days that's essentially what it is. It's not so much the ingredients, but how the chefs put it together that I'm excited about. Because I've got a netbook now that is now running OS 10, 5, 10.5.7, and it's powering this podcast. It's holding the Skype call, and it's going on like a train. But essentially, all I use it for is Skype and the web. Now, if I can have a web browser that I turn on my netbook, bang, it throws up Google Chrome, which I absolutely love. Gtalk has video integration now and voice. It sounds like something I'd be really excited about looking at.
Absolutely. I don't know what I would install it on first, but it's definitely something to look at.
Another thing to think about too is that with Windows 7 being released, I believe that Windows 7 Lite version, so the version that is being installed on netbooks, actually limit the hardware that it can be installed on. It has ceilings. You can't go, I think, past a gigabyte, or I think there's some arbitrary level which you can't go above. But basically that means that the power of the netbooks now is as powerful as they are going to get for a very long while. So Windows 7 is actually putting caps on what a netbook can do, whereas the sound of this open source and I've been reading a couple places, potentially free operating system, won't have those boundaries. And I'm thinking, well, I know which one I'm going to give my support to regardless of either, the one that drives hardware development. Because I've got this little netbook, open it up, chuck 2 gigabytes of RAM in it. It's great, but I'd love to have a really, really honking chip in this with a disgusting amount of memory and a massive SSD hard drive. I'd love to have it, but according to what I've read about Microsoft, I'm not going to get that with Windows 7. So, sorry, I'll see you later.
Well, I have no idea what the Chrome OS is going to offer, but I would be really impressed if it had a lot of popular things built in, like Media Center, DLNA mm-hmm. support, you know, all the home theater stuff we talked about with Carlos and Alex and Gunny, because that would be like, that would just be so cool. I mean, can you imagine Google, Gmail, that type of interface for using a remote control on your TV to manage media? That'd be slick, you know? I mean, sure, there's a bunch of other people that have already thrown their hats in that ring, but, I mean, I would definitely let Google give it a shot.
And here's my I've had two sort of things this morning, two little brainwaves this morning. First thing is that imagine the depth of integration that could happen with stuff like Gmail and the Google apps, like the Google Documents, everything like that. So you've got all these applications there, and then all your information is stored in the cloud, okay? So what I would do and what I'm excited about is buying a computer for my parents that is essentially just the bare-bones Linux and a web browser. So they can go do all their stuff. If they have a problem with the computer, like just say the operating system craps itself, all they do is they restore it from a thumb drive and they're back up and running. All their information is backed up. All their applications are there. That is, open it up, log back into Gmail or Google or whatever, and away you go.
Yep.
So for me, the idea and stuff like net terminals and stuff like that, I can go to anywhere. I can go here. I can go to the shops. I can go to Tasmania and log in in the hotel lobby, and I will have this same applications available to me anywhere around the world. Now that is happening now, but if I could have something that fits into my pocket, it's pushing people, and that's what I like. Google gives people's nudges, so I'm not saying Microsoft is dead, but they got a big shove.
Are you a Shoes Circus Clown Club member?
Platinum.
What do you get with that card?
Big top points.
You know, I imagine over the years you've mind-melded your Magnum Jupiter brain to those other Saturn ring brains at Microsoft.
I have.
Just wondering, are they ever going to come out with something that'll make our computers moist and chewy like cake so we could just eat them while we're working? If it's yes, give me a signal. Adjust your shorts. knew it.
We just got breaking news here on the podcast. Our friend Aiden, who can be found at fredvito.com/AidenPen with two N's at the end. Remember, she was drawing snails. We talked about her last week, I think. She just drew us a cartoon.
And nice.
It's the Thunder Snails. That is so cool. So I have a little beanie hat on, and you got the massive beard action. That is so cool. Right on, Aiden.
Thank you very much.
She's kicking arse. And she actually, since we're talking about Aiden and her snail comic strip, she is working on a comic strip, and I'll let her announce it when she's ready and everything, but she's making really good progress. I've seen some of her drawings and some of her first stuff, let's say, and and she's kind of sort of half open sourcing it a little bit to some friend feeders, saying, hey, you got some ideas, and I think it's really cool. So big shout out to Aiden. Rock on with the snails. And and she says beards on the snail are very hard to draw.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. So rock on. This is fun. We got Friend Feed community being creative. Definitely one of my favorite things about it. Very, very cool. Let's move on to our picks, shall we?
Indeed.
Go ahead.
I'll go first?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to post mine into the chat room. It is a post by one of our previous guests, Mona. And it was made yesterday, and it's just interesting because it brought back some memories of some good times. So it was yesterday she made a series of tweets with a hashtag unacceptable on it. And one of the things she posted was, warm pineapple is unacceptable. And I just wanted to – I've got a few recipes on what I like to do with pineapple, but I just wanted to know your opinion, sir, on what you believe about grilling and the heating of pineapple.
Well, it's freaking awesome is what it is. Pineapple in pretty much any form is freaking awesome. If you soak your teeth in it, that's probably not so awesome. But because it'll strip off the enamel from your teeth, and that could be very painful. But, dude, I grew up in Hawaii. Come on. Pineapple is everywhere. Pineapple is awesome.
Funny you should say that, because I was going to ask you about Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, there's no such thing in Hawaii. You know,
have you never had a tomato and cheese pizza with ham and pineapple on it?
Yes, but I believe it's called ham and cheese pizza or something.
Ham and cheese and pineapple pizza.
Yeah, ham and cheese pineapple. Yeah, I mean, there's no name for it, or it might be now just to cater to the tourists. But I mean, that's not how it is, you know.
And in Australia, it is Hawaiian pizza.
Well, yeah, everywhere but Hawaii is Hawaiian pizza,
and
of course,
George's favorite pizza too. So she's holding it down for the Hawaiian.
Hawaiian pizza is a pizza that usually consists of a cheese and tomato base with pieces of ham and pineapple. Some versions include bacon, shrimp, onions, green pepper, mushrooms and or jalapenos, but the version with ham and pineapple only is the most common. It is the most popular pizza in Australia, accounting for 15% of pizza sales. Despite its name, Hawaiian pizza is not a Hawaiian invention. In Italy, Hawaiian pizza is considered to be a German invention, or a German modification of Italian cuisine. Also, Josh Haley is a stud muffin. That is all.
Yeah, just because pineapples were one of the biggest exports from Hawaii back in, I don't know, the early part of last century, that Hawaii gets pegged as, you know, pineapple deal, the pineapple state, but it's not really the pineapple state.
Well, about 2.5 hours north of us is a place called the Big Pineapple. And it's a pineapple farm. And the tourist attraction of it is it has a gigantic pineapple. A big statue of a pineapple. Hang on, the Big Pineapple. I'll send you a link because it is... I remember going there as a kid and I loved it. It was one of my favorite places to go because you had ice cream and had all this stuff. Here you go. I'm pasting a link in the chat room.
Is there an elevator in the pineapple?
No, it's stairs that you walk up and inside shows a history of pineapples in Queensland because we grow really good pineapples in Queensland.
That is one busy image on that page. Oh, my gosh. Design fail.
So if you look on the left-hand side, that big pineapple, those people up the top, that's the Big Pineapple.
Okay.
Australia is known for big things. We have the Big Pineapple, the Big Prawn, the Big Banana, the Big Golden Guitar in our equivalent of Nashville, which is Tamworth. We have the Big Merino Sheep. The Big Bull, we've got everything. We just, our shtick for tourist attractions is we just take something and build a really big version of it.
So, I guess Australia, it's a Queensland thing, not an Australia thing, is that right?
Yeah, pineapples are in Queensland because we're very much the tropical state.
But I mean the whole big thing. Is that an Australia thing or a Queensland thing?
Australia thing. It's pretty predominant in Queensland, New South Wales, which is the state below us. But there are, like, there used to be a big whale where it had this service station called Moby Dick's, and it had this big whale on the top, and that was the thing. You just went there and had a big whale. You go to the Big Banana; it's a banana plantation with sort of like a little store, but it's just this big, massive, hollowed-out plastic banana with information on the banana in it.
Right. I was just going to say that, you know, Australia and Texas, you know, we're going to have a showdown at some point, you know, because everything in Texas is big, you know, or that's the whole shtick over here.
Well, that's the thing. We're not bigger big. In Texas. Things aren't bigger in Queensland. We just build big versions of it.
Okay, so everything just happens to be bigger in Texas, but in Queensland we build big things.
Yes.
Okay, well, that'll work. That'll work.
Okay, here we go. Just 1 second. I'll give you a quick list of the big things in Australia, okay? We've got the Big Banana, the Big Pineapple, the Big Buffalo, the Big Cow, the Big Egg, the Big Elephant, the Big big Rocking Horse, the Big Koala, the Big Lobster, the Big Merino, the Big Orange, the Big Penguin, the Big Prawn, the Big Rock, the Big VB Can, the Big Rolling Pin, the Big Murray Cod, the Big Bull, the Big Rocket in Moree.
Yeah, that's about it.
There you go. Here's a link to some of the big things in Australia.
Holy crap, dude.
And it is accompanied by photographs.
You remind me of Forrest Gump when Bubba is going over all the different shrimp dishes.
Anyway, like I was saying, shrimp is the fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it. There's shrimp kebabs, shrimp creole, shrimp gumbo, pan fried, deep fried, stir fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp. Shrimp soup, shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp and potatoes, shrimp burger, shrimp sandwich. That's about it.
Penguin shrimp, orange shrimp, green shrimp, shrimp cocktail.
Cocktail shrimp. Yeah, that's about it. It was like 20 minutes. Shrimp sandwich. Oh, man.
And I've just been informed that there's apparently big things in Canada as well, and a list of big things in Texas.
All right. So let the battle begin.
Bring it on.
Or continue, and we're just now getting rid of it.
back to the original story.
Yeah.
One of my favorite pineapple dishes, besides... obviously the pineapple pizza is well, two things actually. There's pineapple fritters. So you take a slice of pineapple, you make up a batter, like a not like this type of batter, not that you batter fish in, but sort of like a pancakey type batter, and you fry it, and so it goes all warm, and you get a nice crispy batter outside. Very beautiful.
Nice.
But one of my most favorite things to do, and we used to do this a lot when we used to go camping, is you grab a pineapple. You can get fresh or tinned, but fresh is best. Slice it up into small chunks and soak those pineapple pieces in Jamaican rum for about 24 hours. So essentially all the water in the pineapple is replaced with the Jamaican rum. Then you take the Jamaican rum-soaked pineapple pieces and you coat them in brown demerara sugar. And you have a small little metho stove, right? So you actually put the pineapple on skewers with the brown sugar and melt the brown sugar onto the pineapple. Then you dip that in cream in your mouth. Yum.
Mm. What
about...
Go ahead.
No, go.
I was going to ask you, what's a metho stove?
It's a small stove. It's probably about the size of two hands. It has a small canister of methylated spirits, and it's gravity fed, so it comes down under and goes into a little stove that you light, and it sort of lets off just a small flame, like a small camping flame. So Ooh. Rather than having gas, you can just use methylated spirits.
It's not propane.
Not propane. It looks like a little propane tank, but it's just filled with methylated spirits, and you put this on this stove, and it sort of the gravity pulls it down into the actual actual section, and because methylated spirits basically is very volatile and turns into a gas straight away, comes up through the holes and basically keeps lighting itself, so it puts a little small blue flame, and you hold the pineapple on the skewers over the flame, melt the sugar down. Dip it in cream in your mouth. 10 of them, you snapped off your tits.
10 of them, huh?
Yeah. little tiny pineapple. It's basically like having 6 or 7 shots of Jamaican rum all at once.
I can't wait to like rewind and listen to what you just said because my head is spinning.
What, snapped off my tits?
Something before that and that. Yeah, I'm just like, what? Okay.
You go whoomp into your mouth and you snapped off your tits.
Ouch! That doesn't sound like fun, and yet you're using it like it is. I'm confused. Well, I'm just an American who's confused.
Okay, there's getting ripped off your tits, which is to getting so drunk that you're just like, whoa!
Oh, it's like off your ass.
Yeah, off your ass, exactly.
And you're just using a different part of the body. Like that dude is stoned out of his tits.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like drunk off his tits. But okay. To get snapped off your tits is to get so drunk that if you were to fall over, you would snap in half.
Methylated spirits. I did not know. I did not know. So thanks for educating.
Have you got any methylated spirits in the house?
If I do, I sure don't call them that.
Not meth as in meth, as in taking meth. Yeah. Having a look what methylated spirits is. Methylated spirits, metho, is a mixture of ethanol alcohol, 95%, and methyl alcohol, 5%. So it's an ethyl-methyl mix.
Okay.
So, like methylated spirits.
Ethyl methyl.
Have you got denatured alcohol?
Yes.
Denaked
alcohol. I like that better.
I'm getting denaked alcohol snapped off my tits with big creamy pineapple bits in my mouth. Yeah.
Denaked alcohol.
Oh, I got out of the shower. Now I'm getting denaked, putting on my clothes. Basically it's denatured alcohol is very similar to methylated spirits. And if you were to light it up, it gives a small blue flame. So Sterno. What's Sterno? But see, we're learning on the podcast.
Yeah. And I'm thinking.
Yeah, very close to Sterno. It's a sort of like a liquid version of Sterno. Do you know what Sterno is?
No.
Okay.
That's okay though. We can figure it out.
Yeah. So, methylated spirits, small thing. Yeah. It's just a small way of getting a small camping flame without having to carry propane.
Oh, I think that's a brand, isn't it? I've heard of Sterno. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. Okay.
Anyway, back on to, yeah.
So, picks of the week. My pick of the week is a YouTube video that I found. I think it's been around and maybe people have already seen it, but I found it just yesterday. And I laughed my ass off so hard that like veins in my temples were bursting and my ears hurt from just the rush of air. I could not stop. And it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds of just pure win that I just couldn't help it. So I'm posting the link now. You guys go ahead and watch it for a few seconds.
Watch at your own peril. I saw you put this in the show notes yesterday, and I looked at it and I pressed play. And
oh my gosh!
2.5 minutes later, I sort of sat there. I was crying. I was weeping. I was in the fetal position, going, "What just happened?"
Okay, I'm gonna describe it while it's playing in the background here. It's Ernie and Bert playing the drums, and someone on serious speed. Someone really did a good job putting this together, making them go at like insane hyper speed. I mean, faster than Lars ever could.
You started, Bert. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Here we go. A one and a two and a chick-a-boom-a-chick. Gracious, that was really cold. I mean, cool.
That's okay.
But it's just Ernie and Bert freaking out. Oh, man. I couldn't stop laughing. And so I tried to bump this guy's post that I've never heard of, Garmin Estes. You can be found at friendfeed.com/Garmin, GARMONESTES. I guess they haven't been around for a while and no one was seeing it. And then I went ahead and reposted it. And it was just so, so funny. I'm a drummer, so I can appreciate just how ridiculously insane that is to try to pull off in real life. I think that's actually like a song, a real like death metal song in the background. But the way that the video, the frames going back and forth is just, oh my gosh. I showed it to my kids last night and I laughed even harder with them. It was just, they were, you know, my oldest daughter was just looking at me funny. She's like, what is wrong with you, Dad? It was just so funny. So that it was easily my pick of the week.
Nice.
I just had to share that. I have an idea for the moment of win. Kind of puts a couple things together, and maybe it keeps it a little bit cleaner. How about I'm cooking pineapple with denaked alcohol?
Nice.
No? Yes? No?
Yeah. Let's put it to the chat room.
I put it in the chat room.
Oh, what's some other pineapple things that we do? Pineapple and ham steaks, that's yummy. So you get sort of pineapple and ham steaks, which is sort of like compressed ham. So it's not ham. Oh, actually, no, it is specific ham. So you get slices of ham, pineapple on the top, and a bit of melted cheese, and you grill it. Yummy. And one of my favorite dishes is the fish and chip shop down the road, which I love, cooks a fish burger, a big, nice, big fillet of fish. And it has...
Did you say fillet?
Fillet, yes.
Oh, my. Keep going. Sorry.
Why?
Nothing. I don't want to derail your train of thought unless that's too late.
No, please. Please. It's already off the rails. I'm running with my feet tied together like Harrison Ford.
I realize that it's spelled F-I-L-E-T, but it's pronounced fillet here anyway. Fillet.
Oh, it's fillet. It's fillet. You didn't go and see the movie E. It's E-T. Oh, we're not getting into another H war. It's fillet.
It's fillet. I'm sorry. It's not fillet of fish.
It is. It's fillet of fish.
Fillet of fish at McDonald's? Are you serious? It's fillet.
If you say, if you walk up to the counter at McDonald's in Australia and say, I want a fillet of fish, they'll punch you for being an arrogant asshole.
And if I walked into a McDonald's and said, give me a fillet of fish, they would just bust out laughing and I would never get my order.
Hang on. Rach, is it fillet or fillet? Love you. It's fillet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to go against Rachel, but still, the rest of America is.
Well, do you cook on a skillet or a skillet?
Oh, come on. It's a skillet. What, do you say skillet?
No, we say skillet. So we say fillet.
What about people who wear really tight pants and dance to classical music on the stage? What's that called?
That's the ballet.
The what?
The ballet.
Ballet? Okay. Yeah, ballet. Good. What about that wooden thing that you put like stuff on, and then the forklift comes and picks it up?
Pallet.
Okay, not a palais. Because palais is like palace.
And also, in a gunfight, I'm not going to get shot by a boulet. I was ducking from a hail of boulet.
Boulet. You can't shoot Neo with boulets.
Yes. It's the thing, I'm French. In my French movie, I use boulet. So, yeah, I say fillet.
Oh, man.
Come on, let's try. Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pound of french fries, icy cold, big shake, Sunday's apple pie. Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pound of french fries, icy cold, big shake, Sunday's apple pie. If you're hungry, then for goodness sake, give yourself a tasty break. With Big Mac, filet of fish, filet.
Pineapple, so, grill it. Fish, fillet.
There you go. Like, seriously.
Not fillet.
Why do you guys hate T's and H's so much?
H. How do you say Z?
Z.
Exactly. And how do you say zero?
Zero.
Okay, you don't say not. N-A-U-G-H-T. No. That must be England or English. England, London, whatever.
Say zero, yeah. But actually, we used to get a lot of trouble because Sesame Street over here used to say Z. E-Y-Z, but no, we always used to get corrected, no, it's Z.
Hmm. I think British would say, like, this car can go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds because it has a propeller installed on the back.
Okay.
That's a strong propeller, by the way. 3 seconds. No, we're trying to come
Especially
up with... We're like failing miserably trying to come up with a moment of win that has to do with pineapple here.
So you say fillet, I say fillet.
Okay, so... he who must urinate soon, standing by.
He who will... fillet the bowl with urine, standing by.
You said fillet. That's awesome. It's working.
I'm trying to help.
Okay. This week's Moment of Win is brought to you by Moo Cards. So get your Moo Cards, use our link, have fun. And ready to post?
Indeed.
In 3, 2, 1, post. Post.
Get your own crispy golden filet of fish, especially now when you can get one with medium fries and an ice cold soft drink for just $3.99.
Here we go. Yay! I saw that one, Micah. That was awesome. Almost used it. Oh, what the hell, Haggis? Oh my gosh. Bert, oh, no. No. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Molly, come on, hurry up. Dude, talk about, what is the rule number 34, or is it 43? Oh, geez. Don't worry if you're too late. You can still do it, and it'll show up in the search. Thanks, everyone, for participating this week. And I had fun. Mm-hmm. I know some other people may have had fun. It's fun sometimes to hang out on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, as it were, with your friends on FriendFeed. Well, again, thanks for letting us throw a sponsor at you. We may or, you know, be able to partner up with another you know, one or two sponsors as well. So let us know if we're pushing too hard on the whole product thing. You know, we're not trying to drive people away. It's still a free podcast. But you know, we're just trying to get creative on ways to be self-sufficient. And that you should never fault anyone for. Cool. Well, any last words, my friend from down under?
Everyone have a good week. I may be a bit quiet depending on the amount of Wi-Fi I can get, but hope everyone has a good week. And, spray your neuters with pets.
Spray. Indeed. And remember that thing I was telling you about? I gotta take care of that soon. Otherwise, it's gonna get messy. But good times, man. Good times.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. Oh, I meant to ask you. Do you like iCarly by any chance?
The show? I have seen it, but I have not sat down to watch an episode.
Netflix has it on like the first season entirely, and the first half of the second season. Dude, it is so funny. I mean, it's a kid's show, but it's actually pretty darn funny. And they have their own little podcast. It's like a video webcast, you know, iCarly's show. And they end up doing some really crazy stuff, not unlike the Moment of Win. So I just think it's fun. You should check it out more.
I just sit there and go, how the hell did they get that type of compression rate? And how could anyone ever see something like that? That is so fake. You can't videotape it like that. My God.
And that proves it's a bad idea to let two blindfolded girls clip your toenails.
Ain't that the truth?
Okay, you know what we're going to do next?
Massage the elderly?
Not today.
Darn.
We are going to answer questions from our viewers.
Here at iCarly, we get about 4,000 emails a week.
And about half of those emails are sent in by one guy named Chad from Wisconsin.
What's the matter with you, Chad?
Don't be mean. Chad loves us.
Yeah, and I love pork, but you don't see me sending 2,000 emails a week to Mr. Pickles.
Who's Mr. Pickles?
The spokespig for the Pork of the Month Club.
Ah, delicious.
Put the pig away. Chad asked Sam, Freddie, and I if we would each draw a picture of a bunny and show him right here on iCarly.
You got a lot of problems, Chad.
But we did draw bunnies just for you. So first, let's take a look at Freddy's bunny. Give me that camera, boy.
Yeah. Hello.
Too close.
Yeah.
And now Freddy will show you his special bunny.
Here we go. Hey-o.
Nice. I say that bunny deserves a...
I hope you enjoyed my bunny, Chad.
Here, take your thing. And now, my bunny. Why's your bunny in jail? You're off to gas station. Okay, let's take a look at Carly's bunny. Carl? Okay, this is for you, Chad. No, it's not. It's pretty bad, kid. Okay, we're out of time. Well, it's only... Bye. Later. Sorry about my bunny. We're all sorry.
And we're clear.